All righty, well, let's spend some time in God's Word, which is always exciting. And we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So, continuing a little bit on this series on lessons in living, things that we can do to live the Word of God on a day-to-day basis, truths that are easily applied. And a great lesson to learn in living is learning to work and to work diligently. Learning to work and to work diligently. And I thought I'd give the definition of Webster's definition of diligence. It's so closely aligned with the word, I thought it would be nice to do. It says, his definition was steady in application to business, constant in effort or exertion to accomplish what is undertaken. Assiduous, which I don't know what that means. I was too lazy to look it up, no. Attentive, industrious, not idle or negligent. So I thought we'd look at what God's Word says concerning how we should work the Word. Give us a good clue of how perhaps He would like us to work on anything. When it comes to His Word, He wants us to work diligently. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. You probably all can quote it forward and backwards in your head and out loud. But we're going to just read it. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the word study there is a Greek word. It's the word spoudazo. It's one of the derivatives of the word spoudazo. And in the working translation, Walter Cummins translated this as, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, an unashamed worker, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word spoudazo basically means to give a diligent effort or to be earnestly diligent. studying could have that if you're studying to do well. It would have that in it. But this word spoudazo is only one time translated as study. Most of the time it's endeavoring or be diligent. So here are some other translations of 2 Timothy 2:15, part of it, at the beginning of it. It says, work hard so you can present yourself. Another one is, do your best to present yourself. Another one is, make every effort to present yourself. We see a little, there's an effort involved, a diligence involved. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. We're going to see the same word translated as endeavoring, or endeavor, endeavoring. So when we work God's word, God would like us to work it with great diligence, with great effort, endeavoring to be able to rightly divide the word of God. That's what how he wants us to work his word. And in here, this is dealing with keeping the helping keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace, shows us how we are to do it. Verse 3, chapter 4. Endeavoring, it's that same Greek word, spoudazo, diligent effort. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. The working translation has it as putting forth a diligent effort to guard the unity. Again, we see an effort involved. So when we learn how to work in life, which we all have done, or teach younger people, it's that they're to learn not just to work, but to work with a diligence. And I know, I guess because I'm an adult now, I'm on the other flip side of watching the youth. At one time I was the youth. But when I was a kid, I worked hard. But I also noticed not everybody worked hard. And as an adult, I notice a lot of kids don't work hard. But they are to. It's God's will that they learn to work and put a diligent effort in it. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. We'll see this basically the same word here. Chapter 11. diligence, with an effort being applied. And I said the wrong one. It's actually chapter 12, verse 8. And this is listing different things that believers in the body of Christ, it's going over to different functions of what people do in the body of Christ, different long suit per se, that they would, how they would function in the body with the believers. And it lists certain ones. It says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The word diligence is that same word, spoudazo, with effort, with an effort in mind. The working translation there says it as ruleth with diligence, as leading in diligence. So it's pretty cool. Now we're going to go to verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The word business there isn't referring to like a business that we may have in our country where you're exchanging goods and services for money or whatever. I mean, that is work, it's business, but that's not what it's talking about. If you don't have a business, then this verse doesn't apply. The word business, the word business, I got it written here, is the same Greek word, basically. It's spoudē, it's from spoudazo. And it basically means diligence again. So we're not to be slothful in diligence. It'd be like saying, not supposed to be dirty in cleaning. You know, if you're going to clean, don't leave it dirty. You know, do a good job. But not slothful in being diligent. The working translation has it as, do not be sluggish in diligence. Be fervent in the things of the Spirit, serving the Lord. Another translation is, not lagging in diligence. Another one is, never be lazy, but work hard. Another one is, never lacking in zeal. Another one was, do not lack diligence. You know, these are all things that God wants us to be. To not be slothful or sluggish in diligence. Because the word slothful also could be translated sluggish. Well, I mean, that's how God wants us to be. So when whatever it is we're doing, we're to do it with a diligence, with an effort and a brevity of time. Excuse me. So let's go to Proverbs. I thought it would be nice to look at some of the scriptures in Proverbs. Proverbs gives a lot of information concerning diligence and slothfulness. It talks about the sluggard. A sluggard is one who is slothful. You never want to be called a slugger. A slugger, maybe in baseball, but not a sluggard. You don't want the D on the end. So, Proverbs, we're going to just read some of these. We're going to start in chapter 6. And these are things that as we teach our children and grandchildren, and raise people in the Word, is trying to change, trying to direct them that if they're involved with whatever it is that they're involved with, they do it with a great diligence, not with laziness. So here's the exhortation in Proverbs 6, verse 6. It says, go to the aunt and look for the uncle. No, okay. Anyway, it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. You don't want to be called that, thou sluggard. Consider, think about her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. So, you know, God's saying to the guy who's a lazy person, hey, consider that ant. And who created the ant? God Almighty. He put whatever the genetic things about ants. It's not like they go to ant school to figure out how to do what they're doing. It's just in them. Like a bird, God designed a bird, the ones that fly, to fly. There's no flying school. We go to flying school when we're in a flying airplane. But birds don't. They just get to a point where they get out of that nest and they start flying. It's in their genetic makeup. They're programmed to be that way. And the ants are programmed to be diligent without having to have a leader. I mean, most things need a leader. Leadership is good. But here, ants, for whatever reason, don't even have a leader, and they're doing all this hard work. Chapter 12. 24. It says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. And I thought it might be helpful here, the New International Version of that verse. It says, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. So from the King James, where the slothful shall be under tribute. You know, they're going to become a slave to someone else or something else because they're not diligent. Doesn't sound too inviting. How about verse 27? The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. He's so lazy that he doesn't even cook the food that he hunted for. He lets it waste. You know, just waste stuff. That's a slothful person. Chapter 13. Have we ever seen anybody waste things? Maybe we've done it a lot ourselves. I don't know. Where they just waste stuff. It's due to laziness. Chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And this isn't body weight. It's just, you know, prospering. You know, just has the things they need. Isn't that something? The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. There's a saying that's been around since I was a kid. I remember hearing it as a kid. God helps those that help themselves. It's not a Bible verse, as we know. Principally wise, the thing is that if a person's helping themselves as far as making a diligent effort, God's got something to work with to bless. If that person is just sitting there doing nothing, what's God got to bless? So he does help those that help themselves, not in the sense that they're only interested in themselves, but they're doing something. They're being diligent about the things that they're doing. So in that sense, yes, it's accurate, but no verse to quote. Chapter 18, verse 9. 18, verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Similar to that other one with the food, the great waster. Chapter 19. Verse 24. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and he will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. He's just that lazy. You know, we've all worked around a lot of people through the years, and I've been around some great workers, and you know, you guys are great workers. Rube's a great worker, you know, in our business, very diligent. But we've been around people that are so slow, you feel like taken the steps for him or moved. It's like, is there any other speed besides slow? It's one thing to be thorough, but another just to be so lazy, just let everything go. That's not godly. It's not godly. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. So I thought we'd look at some examples of believers in the Bible that have lived this truth. It was in their lives, one way or another. Acts chapter 16, this is dealing with Paul and company. He's moving the word. He's really doing a lot. He's traveling through different sections of Asia Minor, and he's endeavoring so diligently to speak the word and help people with the word. And one night he gets this revelation in a vision. It was a word of knowledge, but it was in a vision. It says, and verse 9 of chapter 16, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. He didn't wait, they'll hear the word when they hear it. I got to take a couple days off here. They just were so wanting to speak the word. Immediately they went. That's a diligence that carried him and helped him in his ministry. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. You can see it through all through the Bible. Diligence. Working with diligence. These are just a few examples. This is Mary. After God had an angel show Mary that she's going to get pregnant, she's going to conceive seed that's going to be the Redeemer for mankind. And in part of it, he says, hey, your cousin Elizabeth, who was barren, she's 6 months pregnant. And she's going to, that was a miracle that this woman that was beyond age, hadn't ever been able to have children, is now pregnant. So Mary, verse 39, after hearing all this and declaring that she wants to do what God wants her to do, verse 39 says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. It's that same word, spoudazo. Here it's spoude. With haste, with diligent effort, into a city of Judah. And she goes in and, Elizabeth prophesies. But God told Mary this. One reason was that it would help Mary. Elizabeth was an older woman with a lot of wisdom. Mary was a young girl. And she could help her. Elizabeth could help her. And she knew that. And she went with great diligence to get there as soon as she could so she can start learning and doing what she could do in preparation to giving birth to the Redeemer. She didn't take it lightly. It was like, I'll figure this stuff out eventually. It's not like she could go to the library and learn about all these different things. They were taught by other people. Who better to go to than a woman that got pregnant miraculously? And a woman who, she was older, as I said, and she was serving the Lord all her life. Great example of service and believing. So she did that with great diligence, great effort to get there, to learn, to grow. She stayed there for 3 months. Luke chapter 2, this is the shepherds. Right after Jesus Christ was born, we saw this past December, went into these scriptures. The angel comes down and announces to the shepherds, hey, this has just happened here. And verse 15, it says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us Now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. That same word, with a great effort, great diligence to get there. They wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And they apparently knew, because of the culture, you only got so much time if you're going to see the babe in swaddling clothes and all that stuff. It's a small window of time. And they got there as fast as they could. You know, they knew it was the Lord's business. Like Romans 11, you know, be diligent in, not slothful in diligence, in the fervent in the Lord, serving the Lord. You know, in the work of the Lord, we're to be diligent. Matthew chapter 2. It's just great. A great way to live, and we do live this way, and we need to continue to grow in it, for one, but mainly to teach the younger generation, or young believers. They could be 70 years old, but young in the Word, you know, those who have not had great and extensive training or teaching of God's Word, to be taught this, because surely our world does not teach this. Almost any show you see, I don't watch much TV, but I'm not dumb. These shows that they show are the workplace, you know, like these sitcoms, they're all just standing around talking. You never see shows where they're all working hard. They're all just, and that, if you see that enough as a youth, and just, that's your picture of what a workplace is like. When you show up at the job, you're expecting that. Just the way it is. The images that have been propounded through the years are not healthy ones. They're not biblical ones. Here's Joseph and Mary, after the wise men had come to see him, to see Jesus, and God reveals to Joseph this in verse 13. It says, and when they were departed, referring to the wise men, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by what?
Night.
He got up right away. Why wait till dawn? He was warned that Herod's after to come destroy this kid. He got up right away. He was not going to wait, and departed into Egypt. Let's go to Genesis chapter 39. This does not literally say, this is about Joseph, literally say he was diligent. But if you put two and two together, he had to have some diligence in his lifestyle. Chapter 39, verse 1. As you know, the record about Joseph being sold by his brothers to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites brought him down. They were going to kill him, but then when they found out they could make some money off it, they decided to sell him instead. So the Ishmaelites brought him down to Egypt, and the Ishmaelites sold him to this man named Potiphar. That's where we're picking up verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So he's a slave there. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over the house, and all that he had he put in his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house, in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now, Potiphar had to have seen something in Joseph's actions that he say, hey, I gotta trust this guy with some more of my stuff. And then I'm gonna trust this guy with even more of my stuff. And then he got to a point, he said, I'm gonna trust this guy with everything I got. The only thing I'm concerned about is the food that comes in front of me. That's the only thing I know I got. Oh, I got a plate full of food right here. He got to a point, he knew nothing about his own resources because he so saw how Joseph took care of things and he had to have some diligence. Would you, if you had a lot of stuff, hand it over blindly to somebody you don't even know if they work hard? I wouldn't. And I don't think Potiphar would have either. But anyway, if he did, he took a real lucky chance. Not really. Okay, let's go to verse 21. So he gets framed by Potiphar's wife. You probably remember the record. He goes to prison. Now he's in prison, even though he didn't do anything wrong. Verse 21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Again, would this prison keeper put in charge a prisoner to take care of everything? Because culturally, the prison guards, if something got screwed up, they got in big trouble. So Joseph just must have been a very diligent person in regards to work. Just something to be left by two different groups of people with everything to him without being checked. It's pretty amazing. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. So these are different believers through the years that have applied that truth. It was in their lifestyle and the great blessings and, to their lives. You know, as we know, God chose Mary to be the one to receive the promised seed. I don't think that he would have allowed the lazy people to take care of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, she showed her diligence going to see her cousin. Joseph obviously showed his diligence when God showed him, you know, get up and keep going to Egypt. They're going to kill him. They were diligent people. And to raise that young boy in the truth of God's word, I had to be diligent. Chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. If you're going to do it before you die. If you're going to do it with all your might. Put everything you got into it. And lastly, we're going to Colossians chapter 3. Very similar truth. Colossians chapter 3. So that was one of the things that Solomon, who was such an incredibly wise person, figured out in life, that whatever you do, do it with all your might, because when you die, there's no more you can do. You're done. And this, for the body of Christ specifically, verse 23 of chapter 3, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. The first do, there are two different words here. Two different Greek words. The first do is basically like to make or perform or produce things that we do, whatever it is that we're doing. Whether we're cooking, eating, cleaning, sleeping, driving, whatever it is that you're doing. Studying, teaching, snoring. I guess if you're going to snore, snore. But I mean, it's basically, you know, whatever it is, whatever action you're taking, the next word do is the word for labor. It's gets a mine or something like that. It's a, it's, it means to work, to labor hard. So whatever it is that you do, do it or labor heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And that's the heart behind it. We have that diligence because we want to do it unto the Lord. It, we never separate, well, this is for an unbeliever, so I'm not going to do it diligently. Or this is for a believer, so I'm going to do it diligently. Our lives are working unto the Lord. And that gives us a motivation that's so different than what the world has to offer. So different. It's just a great lesson in living for all of us that if we're going to work, we'll do it with great diligence, endeavoring to do it with all that we have. And it's a godly principle. It's a godly truth that if we inculcate and continue to inculcate in our lives, it's a great blessing, and we see great results. So, and we just have a great job to teach the youth, because the youth are not required to work hard right now. We have so much easy stuff. So.